So, hey everybody, happy Standing Rock Day. This is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines, your national movement building show. I think you know we have wonderful, wonderful news from Standing Rock, one of the happiest days in my life, actually. And more importantly than what I think, is that we're going to be on the line today on KPFK with Candy Mossett, who some of you have come to know and love by now because she's been a regular on the show for the last 3 weeks, telling us firsthand what's going on in the struggle of Standing Rock, the Lakota, Dakota people, and the Sioux people, and what they're doing to fight for self-determination. Today is a very exciting day. It's a fund drive day. And we're going to have Candy on the show for a substantial part of it, giving us an update. But 818-985-5735, here's the exciting news. For every dollar that you give to KPFK, $20 being the minimum contribution, 50% is going to go to the Indigenous Environmental Network. Isn't that phenomenal? And 50% is going to go to KPFK. The Indigenous Environmental Network is one of several key organizations that are helping to lead the struggle at Standing Rock. 818-985-5735, because the fight has been going on for over 500 years. If you start 1492 to 1992, it's 500 years. So we're in the sixth century of Indigenous resistance to European and U.S. imperialism. And IEN, I've known Tom Goldtooth for well over 20 years. And the Indigenous Environmental Network, now with Candy Mossett, Dallas Goldtooth, and a cast of thousands, they really need our money, our help. Last week we had, a very beautiful show where, 20 of our listeners at least called in to say, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I let her walk out of my high school students. I called President Obama. And we have to give genuine appreciation to President Barack Hussein Obama, because when they say that the Army Corps of Engineers decided to not carry through the plan, and again, I want Candy Mossett to explain the details, that was the President of the United States. Now, why he didn't go on television and take more personal credit, as this new president would do for all the bad things he's going to do, that's a whole nother story. But 818-985-5735, great. Candy is on. So here's the deal. Candy Mossett's going to give us, first of all, exactly what happened. And more importantly, or equally importantly, what's going to happen next? Because the worst thing I'll say, Candy Mossett, how you doing? Welcome to Voices from the Frontlines. This is Eric Mann.
Hi, Eric. Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me on again.
Sure, Candy. We're going to have you on every Tuesday for the next, two or three years, so we'll keep going.
I don't know about that.
I know. Don't worry. That was a promise, not a threat. Don't worry. The most important thing is I want people for you to give us the inside story on what happened. But one thing we know is that my greatest fear is that people will think that, this is great, I can move on. But we know that the struggle continues and there's as many complicated developments that you're going to tell us about. So we're at 818-985-5735. Try to call in and give $500 or $1,000 or $50 or $250. Remember, every cent that you give, 50% goes to KPFK to tell the story. And this is Voices from the Frontlines. And 50% goes to the Indigenous Environmental Network, who are making the story happen. So, Candy, I can't even imagine what you're feeling. Why don't you always start with, where are you physically? Are you in a how's the weather out there? What are you looking out the window or out into the sky? And then go backwards to what happened the day that you found out the news.
Okay. So right now I'm actually stranded in Bismarck.
Okay.
I got up here at about midnight. Was it yesterday or two nights ago? And then the storm hit. So my plans to go back to my yurt were all shattered because there's no way I was going to go out on these roads in these driving conditions. So looking out the window, it's not snowing anymore, but it's definitely blowing and really cold. It's -14 is the real feel. it might be actually lower than that by now. So the snow has stopped and the storm, the blizzard, is tapering off, but it's super duper cold. And the Standing Rock community has actually opened up their Standing Rock High School, the Cannonball Gym, the casino, and a couple of other locations for people that were either in the camp and didn't have enough firewood or just didn't understand what a North Dakota blizzard was going to be like. In addition to that, we had all of the vets that are here, and so a lot of different places being opened up to house a lot of different people, probably about 10,000 people on the ground.
Wow.
And so there's a lot. And we have all been sort of in a reactionary mode. The initial response was definitely shock, because I had gotten the information early on, as we often do, you know, that the White House had a call, this is what happened, this is what said, and couldn't say anything for like 2 hours.
Right.
And so it was just...
It's amazing, huh? You know,
we're just calling some of my family members and saying, okay, don't say anything, but...
Right, this is wonderful.
And was just so happy. I gave a Facebook Live update, and I just couldn't help it. I was just crying and crying with happiness, because it's been, you know, it was a relief. We haven't really been able to have a lot... You know, that's what we were hoping for, is this really good news, and it happened. And then, you know, the chairman, David Archambault, put out a statement and has been putting out statements to the effect of, okay, thank you for coming, and we really appreciate everybody coming. This has been great. But let's talk about a potential exit strategy because of the weather. And there have been people in the ditches. There have been cars going off the road. Like I said, they had to open up several areas in the community to house people. So he is really concerned about the safety of the people in this winter when it's just beginning. And we're already seeing conditions on the ground that necessitate, that require a necessity to have shelters opened up for people to go.
Right.
And so I don't know that people are actually giving this decision as much credit as it deserves. It is a huge thing. It is very monumental that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers underneath the Obama administration made this decision. And basically, they...
Candy, hold it right there. One more second. No, this is great.
Trying to gather my thoughts.
No, you take a minute and gather, because I want folks to listen. The person you're listening to, along with, we know, hundreds and thousands of people, indigenous people who led this struggle, made a history that is almost beyond words. But it also does come down to real people, real organizations, a real Candy Mossett, a real Tom Goldtooth, a real Dallas Goldtooth, a real, you know, and there's hundreds of people who have real names. But they need real money. 818-985-5735. We need to raise a lot of money today. I'd like to see in the tens of thousands that we could split 50% between IEN and KPFK. Things cost money. Things cost a lot of money. And I think the irony of it is, I'm a fundraiser. I'm a director of an organization. If you're a director, any organizer today is a fundraiser by the very nature. You need money to do the job. But I'm also a donor. I give increasingly, as is my wife, Leanne. We always call each other and say, hey, you want to give to this? You want to give to that? And the answer is always yes. And then the question is, did you give, or should I give, and how much, or should we give? So, later on, I'll probably announce, or Leanna will announce, or both of us will announce that we want to contribute to this. But let's start with yourselves, 818-985, while Candy is gathering our thoughts. I'd like to feel that the phones are ringing off the hook. This is listener-sponsored radio, movement-sponsored radio. Candy is going to do most of the talking about the actual conditions on the ground and the implications of victory. I'm going to do a lot of the talking about the urgency to build in fundraising and fund giving into our understanding of politics, I love giving money. I really do. I mean, I love giving money to causes because I'm always raising money for the Strategy Center and the work that we do. And I know that when something comes in, it's $50. Some people, frankly, have given $5,000. Some foundations have given a lot more. But when I get a check in the mail or an email or it goes on PayPal, it means a lot. It means somebody chose to do this. So I need you to call 818-985-5735 and say to Candy Mossett, you've been on the last three Tuesdays. You've been in the middle of your yurt or now freezing in the middle of Bismarck to give us the information we need. Candy, we want to give you a vote of confidence. We want to give IEN a vote of confidence. We want to give all the people on the reservation who stood up confidence. 818-985-5735 for all the Sioux people. Let's give a tremendous KPFK vote of confidence to this movement. So that gave you enough time, I hope, to gather your thoughts about the significance. Let me ask you a question as you go into your answer. Who are the people and why are people downplaying the victory? Because my reaction was, yes, I mean, this was a tremendous act on Obama's part against the mining interests. And but you tell me, what's the political conversation going on inside the indigenous community in particular?
Well, first, I just want to say to the people that are donating that the money that we're using, that we're getting from folks, does partially help the Indigenous Environmental Network, who has been really struggling the last 2 years, but in large part also helps this larger effort that we're working on. We're building an Indigenous village at tribal lands on tribal lands at Standing Rock on the reservation. We're calling it Build with Standing Rock.
Right.
And so you can find the Facebook page, and we're working with several different organizations and architects and different engineering firms to build this village, which was originally the winter campsite, and then it turned into so much more so that 40, 50, 60 years down the road, people are going to see permanent structures at that site.
That's wonderful.
Where they can go and visit and understand what happened in this year, in 2016. And so that right now is a $6 million project. And so we're raising money across the country to make that happen. We have $525,000 of our initial goal. Our initial goal is $1.7 million. Just to all of the startup costs, groundbreaking, getting the earth lodges in, the straw bale buildings, the teepees, gray water systems, all of the structures that go with composting toilets and in the spring, all of the greenhouses. And so it just started out as a vision, and we're actually building it now, which is kind of really cool. So you can find out more about that at Build with Standing Rock.
Is it called Build at Standing? Build? Say it again. Build?
Build with?
With.
Standing Rock.
Totally cool.
There's a Facebook page, Build with Standing Rock.
Is there a website yet?
Well, the website right now is just a GoFundMe account.
Got it. Well, I don't want to say on the air yet, but I promise you that we're going to help as well. 818-985-5735. I want to be able to, in about 5 minutes, have somebody come out and give us some of the totals coming from the phones. But if I can say, Candy, and I'm our own organizations, the Strategy Center, we just built a new structure called Strategy and Soul, and we have our own film theater, and we have our own bookstore, and we have our own organizing center, and then we have something called Strategy and Soul Food. I raise that not about us, but just to say how cool it is if the movement has actual long-term structures of resistance. What you're doing is even of greater significance, and $6 million is not a lot of money, except it's a lot of money that we have to raise. But the idea, imagine that build, right? I mean, it's not 6 million. No, but Build with Standing Rock. Imagine going out onto this, and this is on the reservation itself.
Yeah, because where the camp is currently located, the Ocheti Shokomi camp is
right
on a floodplain.
Right.
It's not an ideal location. It's not a good place to be in the spring, for example. And so a lot of the people right now are just sort of reacting to everything. And people have been on the ground for months and months and months and months. Some people since April. So
wow,
going on, you know, almost a year. And so the reaction on the ground is largely we can't trust the government.
Right.
You know, we don't know what's going to happen. There's already a hearing that Energy Transfer Partners has set up for Friday to push back against this decision, and they want this decision reversed. What happened is that the Army Corps of Engineers basically said that they will not grant an easement for the permit at this location, a permit for the easement at this location at this time, that they're taking into account NEPA, the National Environmental Protection Act, and their own, you know, codes and regulations as they impact treaty rights, which is, I mean, that's a huge thing for the government to say that they're going to respect treaty rights. This is really precedent setting. But the problem is that they're basically talking about a reroute. And in that reroute, they would prepare an environmental impact statement that allows for, in their words, broad public input and analysis. So the environmental impact statement could be limited in scope. It may only be for that specific area or for the reroute area. But it's a really interesting twist because the Corps is going to do three things. These are the three minimum things that they're going to do. They're going to have a robust consideration and discussion of alternative locations for the pipeline crossing the Missouri River, including but not limited to more detailed information on the alternative crossing that was considered roughly 10 miles north of Bismarck. So I think the people of Bismarck need to be alert and need to understand that now they're talking about coming up there again. This is not something that we support. You know, this is not something that we're saying, yay, but it's an ironic twist of fate that it's coming back up there again.
Right.
When people have been so hurtful and hateful in Bismarck, not everybody, of course, but some of the people that live here have been very, very, very misunderstanding of what the fight has been north of Standing Rock. And now it's potentially coming their way again. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but we're going to be there to stand with them still and to say no. The other thing that they're doing is a detailed discussion of the potential risks of an oil spill, the potential impacts to Lake Oahe, to the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's water intakes, as well as the tribe's water rights and treaty fishing and hunting rights. That's huge that that language is in there.
Right.
And then additional information on the extent and location of the tribe's treaty rights in Lake Oahe. So those are the minimum three things that they're going to be looking at. And the reason, again, that this is huge is because we will say, no, we, of course we don't support a reroute, but we also know that it effectively kills the project. And the Energy Transfer Partners' response to this just proves that, because they basically came out with a response 2 days ago now, late at night. It was December 4th, after 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You know, and they were basically telling us that this policy decision, you know, is all that it is, and that they are going to, I'm trying to find a quote about it, that, you know, they're going to drill, that this decision doesn't change anything. It doesn't say that they're going to drill right now. It doesn't say that they're going to jump to it and do anything illegally. It doesn't say anything like that. It just alludes to the fact that they're still going to make this go through, and they also say that they are not going to reroute. So
well,
I just don't know what's going to happen between the administration and this company, because I think it's the first time that they've been put head-to-head against each other, to where if they try to do anything illegally, they're going to have a heck, they're have a heck of a time finding a contractor that's going to illegally drill. I mean, this is not going to happen. Michael's Corporation is the current company that is on the ground with Energy Transfer Partners that was set to do the boring work. And Michael's company is a huge company with contracts all across the United States. I highly doubt that they're going to put their company in jeopardy or at risk to illegally drill, because they do not have the permit. And the law enforcement here and the National Guard here has said all along that the reason that they are protecting the pipeline and the easement is because they're protecting the workers, saying that the workers have a legal right to work there and everything that they've done up to this point has been legal. Well, with this decision, the police force and the National Guard no longer need to be wasting taxpayers' dollars. They don't need to be out there. And so we're trying to see how it's going to play out, because there shouldn't be any workers there now. That would be illegal. And are they going to continue to protect then an illegal situation now that this company does not have the permit to drill underneath the Missouri River?
Well, let me hold you there for a minute. Yeah. This is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Front Lines. The voice you're hearing, who is really on the front lines, is that of Candy Mossett, both of the Indigenous Environmental Network, but also the broad United Front that's standing with Standing Rock. A couple of thoughts, Candy. I mean, and then again, 818-985-5735. All right, I might as well announce my wife Leanne just gave $500. She read up my mind. Aww. That's from me and Leanne. But Leanne has been the driving force of this, Candy. I want you to know that.
Thank you, Leanne.
Yeah, thank you, Leanne. Rick gave $500. There you go, Rick. Yeah. This is wonderful. Janie, $50.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just happy that people are even listening to what information is coming out, basically. Because it's been a really long haul. It's been a really long fight. And the momentum doesn't just end here. That's the important thing, is that it's not just over. I mean, the Indigenous Environmental Network has been working on putting our Indigenous Rising Media together. And so we have an Indigenous Rising Media van that we want to take and hit the road and go to the next struggle. We have a trailer with solar power that was gifted to us with Navajo Native Renewables, which is 100% Navajo-owned, Diné-owned company, and they were working with Mark Ruffalo and Power and Light and all of their organizations to give these two ginormous solar panels to us. And so the things that are happening, you know, in the country, the fossil fuel regime still exists. There's a lot of fights all over. And so while this is a huge thing, we understand what's happening right now with President-elect Donald Trump, and he has been totally a climate denier. He's been for the fossil fuel industry. He has been making promises of new jobs, but his new jobs are coming in the form of bringing back coal, bringing back oil, bringing back gas, really horrible, terrible things that we know are causing climate crises. And so we have a long, rough 4 years ahead of us unless we can change his mind and his positions on the policies. Because he is a climate change denier, and we need to change his mind.
Well, a couple of thoughts I have as one organizer to another. The first thing is to our listeners. You're listening to Candy Mossett and Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines, KPFK 90.7 FM. We need you to call more, 818-985-5735. We want to thank Leanne, who gave $500, Rick, who gave $500, Janie, who gave $50, Cynthia gave 20, but that only takes us, and that's only, to $1,070. We got to raise at least $4,000 today. That means $2,000 can go to IEN and including to the Build with Standing Rock project, and $2,000 to KPFK to keep being running the shows that we're running. I had a couple of thoughts. One thing is, I think we know when we say the luta continues, the battle always continues. This is like a soap opera that never ends. I've done this my whole life, right? So you just won this amazing victory. But now you have, of course, the drillers, the company, and the company is not stupid. They're relentless, and we need to be relentless. So they're saying, all right, there's been a change in the policy, but we still plan to win this. They're going to try to outlast the Obama administration or end run the Obama administration. They're going to go to Trump. Then you have the possible diversion of the drilling closer to Bismarck, and then all the overwhelmingly, and it is white people in Bismarck, who they dodged the bullet last time. Then they were so happy, many of them, that it was going to go through Indian country. Then, oh my God, no, it's coming back to us, and your sense of generosity towards them is right. You perceive them to be uneducated, and you need to educate them. So what I'm getting to is, this is just going to go on and on and on and on. You know, I mean, I've done this my whole life. It never stops. It's not like, congratulations, you won. I wish it was that simple. But here's what I will say. You have won a massive political victory. It's like having a new set of cards in your hand. You know, I was going to say, Kenny, I'm going to write a book called How to Win at Poker with a Pair of Deuces. Because I always got a weak hand. You know, I mean, I never have a strong hand. But occasionally you get some cards in your hand that you can use to have a stronger hand. So I think what's exciting for IEN and for the indigenous movement is this victory is going to give you morale boost. You know how important morale is and how a political boost to the next stage of the fight. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people just by and large need to understand that we are in it for everybody, for the workers, for the people that are part of the industry. It's not ever been us against them. It's
right.
Never been us against the police force. None of us ever came here thinking that we were going to have the sort of violent attacks that were perpetuated upon us. We never had that in mind. We came here simply to do one thing, and that is protect the water. And so I think it comes down to the root cause of the problem. So I'm glad you brought that up. And the root cause of the problem with us in this country, in this world, is capitalism and corporate control and industrial control. There's been so much propaganda pushed on so many people for so long that it's brainwashed a lot of individuals into believing that this is the only way it is, that we have to have oil, that we have to have fossil fuels. I have a lot of people that ask me, well, what do you drive? Did you drive a car to get out there? And I say, you know what? First of all, I drive a hybrid, which cost me an arm and a leg to purchase. Thank you for bringing that up. But where are all the electric hybrid plug-in vehicles in this country? Why is it that Copenhagen is the first country to have their bicycles overtake the amount of vehicles on the road? Why is it that people have to leave the United States to get to a slower-paced life and to have more family time and to slow down? They leave this country in order to do that. And the whole uncomfortable topic is around what this country is built upon and founded upon, which is the raping and taking of indigenous lands. And so this is all coming up in the spectrum of this fight. And what we are here to say, what we've said all along, is that we don't own the land. The land owns us. We have to respect it because that's where we get everything essential that we need to live as human beings on this planet. So it's not a divide and conquer issue. It's a let's work together to find a better way issue. And the first place that happens is by stopping this fracking. The oil is coming from the Bakken Shale Formation, and that's why they want to get it out. And a lot of people are so confused in this country because they think that we need this oil. Well, guess what? It's going to be shipped to the coasts where it's then shipped to other countries. It's like we're getting all of the pollution and the detrimental impacts, and the energy goes somewhere else. And if you want to look at the economics of it, the fossil fuel industry is no longer economically viable when it's put next to the renewable energy economy. In the last 5 years, the cost of solar has decreased by a staggering 600%. And if we were to completely divest right now from the fossil fuel industry and invest in renewable energies, we would create 3.4 million new jobs on top of all of the jobs we already have. And so there is no viable argument against what we're trying to do. The only thing I can think of is that it's human nature for people to fear change.
Well, I think that's right. And the voice you're listening to, and I could listen to it, you know, I think that's a really great thing you just said about the cost of solar going down. Did you say 500% or 600%?
600%.
600%.
But yet you...
Well, let me keep going, Candy, just for a sec. 818-985-5735, because remember, folks, this is not listener-sponsored entertainment. This is listener-sponsored radio. The voice you're hearing is we're not having an interesting conversation about solar energy. We're having a movement for solar energy, and that movement needs money. This station needs money. You know, Channing Martinez and I, we volunteer at the station, so 100% of the money on Voices from the Front Lines goes to either KPFK or to, in this case, IEN. And again, Vera, I want to talk to you afterwards, Candy, about how we could help you with the build with Standing Rock. That's just very exciting to try to raise money for that project. Maybe you could bring your band to LA and stuff like that. But listeners, 818-985-5735. Last week, when I asked you to call in and say what you were doing, you did wonderful, wonderful things, but the phones were ringing off the hook. This week, same listeners, were asking you to please call in. Try to give $50 to $100 to $250. I want to thank Barbara, $50, one of our favorite listeners named Anonymous, gave $25. I don't care. Does Anonymous's brother, could Anonymous's sister or brother give $500? That would be totally cool. Channing, do we have any other calls coming in right now? 818-985-5735. We need more callers to be identified, even if it's anonymous. We're at about $1,200. We need to get to about $4,000. Come on, folks. I mean, with all due respect to the organic toothpaste and all the organic other things, how about organic indigenous revolution? Isn't that worth $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 and helping them build with Standing Rock so they could have a permanent, imagine a permanent structure of resistance for the Sioux people? Is that how they would self-identify? What are the tribes, how would the tribes at Standing Rock, Candy, how would they self-identify?
I don't really know. I mean, people are just talking about, this is a great victory, you know, what's coming next, and it is definitely a fight that, you know, the Lakota, Dakota, and even Nakota people have been waging for a long time now. The tribe, the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, has been saying no to this since at least 2012. Again, in 2014, they met with Energy Transfer Partners and clearly stated, no, we do not support this, and we do not want this. And so it's just a moment in history where never have we had treaties that have been honored. Never.
Right.
And right now we're looking at the 1851 Fort Laramie Treaty being honored by the United States government, which is a really big deal. It's precedent setting for future energy projects that could happen in Indian country, whereby tribal nations are trying to be controlled and taking over. You know, we only make up 2% of the population, but we have a huge amount of the fossil fuel reserves that exist.
God.
In the country, which is really scary, which is why Donald Trump is talking about privatization in Indian country.
Wow.
And it's a move towards quote-unquote sovereignty, but that's not the case. They want to control tribes and energy policies to basically exploit for the fossil fuel resources.
Well, in terms of future struggle, do you see one of the future struggles, 818-985-5735, do you see one of the future struggles somehow, let me see if I can explain it to myself, where the government would essentially sign contracts or private companies would sign contracts based on alleged indigenous sovereignty, but in fact would be trying to get tribes to sign away their rights to natural resources?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what that's about, and we can't allow that to happen. We've been taken advantage of for too long, and we are now in this day and age in 2016, we're educated. We're on the same level almost as far as understanding the processes. We have folks that can now read and write the English when they put that thing in front of us, and we can actually have a more educated say in some of the stuff that's being trying to be forced upon us as tribal nations. Whereas, you know, just 100, you know, 200 years ago, you would see an X on the line, and they would have somebody explain it to our leaders and our chiefs, an interpreter. And who knows what they were leaving out in the discussion and in the details. And a lot of people were tricked and fooled because we don't understand and didn't ever understand that concept of land ownership. That's absurd. Nobody owns the land.
Well, I have very good news for you, Candy. You know, I was talking to the Anonymous family. You know, I mean, my family is a big contributor to this. And I like, by the way, I want you to give your names. I like giving at least your first name. But the Anonymous family, first they gave 50. Then apparently I asked if their anonymous sister would call. She called with 50. Then another anonymous member of the family called with 1,000. Then another anonymous member of the family gave 150. So that anonymous family is trying to take over the whole damn fundraising thing here, getting credit for that anonymous family. We want to thank the anonymous family.
Thank you so much.
Isn't that
cool? It's been a long, hard struggle. It is really cool. It's going to be, rest assured, this is going to a really good place. It feels weird to ask for that. It's not something that we do. It's strange to me. I understand why we're doing it, but I just want people to know that at the heart of everything is really, 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 really great intentions and really good things to come for the future, you know, where we can go and continue to fight against Oak Flats. We can continue to fight in the Gulf South. Another Gulf is possible. We can continue to fight in Arizona, in Alaska, where they're continuing to drill and protect our brothers and sisters all across the world that are dealing with this extractive economy. We are going up against some major, major, major players, and we've seen it on the ground by the scary things that have happened to us that some people call conspiracy theories. But when you're here on the ground and you see private security people with masks following you around, which has happened to me, when you see your phone go from 90% to drained in a matter of 15 minutes, you know that they have this technology that they're using out here. There's some really weird things that happened on the ground to us as a result of going up against a really big industry. We're talking about billions and billions and billions of dollars. And so when we go up against that stuff, we just have to maintain what we have. And it's not in the, it's not even in the form of money. I mean, if people can't give, if you're listening to the show right now and you can't give, what we would really ask for too is just the prayers, because honestly, above everything else, that's how we won this and are going to continue to win. The hearts and minds of everybody is through the power of prayer.
Well, I would say prayer plus dollars is a great combination, and praying for dollars, because I prayed. I did pray, and we all prayed. Again, I feel, first of all, I want to thank you. I just to tell you a funny story. The voice you're hearing is Candy Mossett. Since we just want to thank James and Susan Anderson, we like saying names. It's not that you're trying to get credit. It's that you're giving a real human being's name to it. So James and Susan Anderson, $200. Another anonymous for $100. You know, Candy, we maybe back a little before your time in 1991. I was at the People of Color Environmental.
That was not before my time.
It wasn't? Okay, good, good. At the Indigenous, at the People of Color Environmental Justice Leadership Summit. And I met Tom Goldtooth there. I met Richard Moore for the first time. I met so many, you know, Bob Bullard, who became one of my close friends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was an amazing group. And I remember later I was talking to, they used to send me in, because I'm Jewish, and they would send me in sometimes to these white funders and say, Eric, we need you to try to interpret with these people. They're so threatened by this whole people of color thing. And I still remember this woman going, that Tom Goldtooth, he makes me very uncomfortable. I mean, he's not friendly. He's like, he keeps thinking it's his land, it's their land. I said, did you hear what he said? It's their land. That's what he's saying. It's not friendly or unfriendly. It's true. It's a good thing. You should support this work. So the concept, which is what you've been saying, Candy, for a long time, is the concept of addressing the fundamental question of, it's not just sovereignty, the question of decency, the question of, we don't, some of us do not support the idea of a white settler state. We don't support the idea that Christian Europeans came here and believed that all the people in their way were in their way, that their religion said that the people who they saw were in some way, I don't want to go all the things and all the cruelty that they inflicted. Sadly, a lot of that cruelty and racism and xenophobia exists today. So The Indigenous Environmental Network, you're not just fighting, you're fighting for the land, you're fighting for the water, but I think you're fighting for the soul of everybody. And I think a lot of people are responding beautifully. People want to have a soul. People don't want to be heartless. They don't want to believe in fossil fuels, you know, and I think you're offering some moral leadership. And so for those of us who agree with the work that Candy Mossett and the other IEN people have done, please call 818-985-5735. Give money to both KPFK and the Indigenous Environmental Network. Candy, I'm hoping, by the way, we'll talk afterwards, but we love at the Strategy Center to do some kind of an event with Standing Rock in January, February, March. We'll figure it all out. And I know Alan Minsky here, our terrific program, we could do something maybe with KPFK and the Strategy Center, right? Mm-hmm. And do something. But 818-985-5735, Roberta, $40, Philip, $100. What are you thinking, Alan?
There we go. There's my mic. And, yeah, people should call in 818-985-5735. And, again, I can think of just nothing that could be more important than supporting independent media and supporting the Indigenous Environmental Network right now and the work that they're doing up in Standing Rock. And, you know, this is something that's going to be a struggle going forward. As everybody anticipates, when the good news came down, the big issue, of course, is how is it something that's going to hold? Does this mean the end of the pipeline? Donald Trump, of course, is going to be inaugurated on January 20th, and the strong expectation is he will do everything in his power to try to bring this construction, this environmentally and just for so many reasons historically devastating project back in motion. And so it's going to take support for the communities up in North Dakota and all the people who are collecting there and the whole network of people who are there. And so by calling right now, 818-985-5735, you'll be supporting both the Indigenous Environmental Network and KPFK Radio at a 50-50 split.
And we've raised $2,200 so far. I want to be honest, that's not acceptable. I don't want to say that's great. It's not acceptable. For something of this great historical impact, we got to get to $4,000. I mean, that's, to me, the minimum. It's not just that it would be split 50-50. KPFK, it's a dialectic. I mean, without Candy Mossett, there is no show today. Without KPFK, there is no show today. They're two institutions. Let me take a minute, and then we'll go back to Candy. We can beat Donald Trump. The Democrats couldn't beat Donald Trump because they were bankrupt, morally bankrupt, politically bankrupt. It's not a question of, did you hear what Trump said today? I don't care what Trump said today. It's what is he going to do today and who's going to stop him, issue by issue, front line by front line. The fact that he may try to reverse this, he's going to be up against more than he can figure out. If he thinks those veterans are not going to stand with Standing Rock, if you think people are not going to stand with Standing Rock, he's Donald Trump. Yeah, but now he's the hard part. Beating Hillary Clinton, that was easy. That was easy. She shot herself in both feet and every other way. The Democratic Party is bankrupt. But the movement's not bankrupt. I think Donald Trump may tread a little more lightly than you think if all these veterans stay, if KPFK stays on the case, if there's a mass movement, if we make it clear that we're drawing this line in the sand. He's both ruthless and smart. Let's see what he chooses to do. It's not going to be that easy. So 818, that's me speaking, Eric Mann, 818, talk is cheap. Candy's on the front lines. Mm-hmm. At least I'm trying to help. 818-985-5735. We have $2,200. We have 15 minutes left. And, folks, I mean it. 818-985-5735. I don't want to hear even Candy's voice for one more minute until I hear 818-985-5735 and some new calls coming in. Now, Candy, tell us what you're going to do if Donald Trump makes a move. What's IEN's move in the chess game?
We're going to be here. We're going to continue to fight the fight. We're not. I mean, let's not forget we've overcome genocide, and we're still here.
That's right.
Native people. And so Donald Trump coming in is just another challenge, another bump in the road. In fact, it might be better to have all the cards out on the table and know exactly what we're dealing with than to have a more sneaky administration. I think it wasn't just Hillary Clinton. It was the whole entire DNC, the Democratic National Convention,
exactly.
Shot themselves in the foot. And this should make a good case for, you know, doing away with the Electoral College because, he Donald Trump did not win the popular vote, period. You know, he didn't. And so changing all that up. But so it we'll see. It'll be up to the tribe. The tribe is already talking about, you know, filing for an injunction if he tries to open this back up again and taking it to the courts. He has already stated that he is supportive of the Dakota Access Pipeline. He has already talked about bringing back Keystone XL.
Right.
So we're going to have to potentially look at, you know, that fight again. But again, it comes down to the root cause of the problem. So shut down the tar sands.
That's right.
Where these pipelines come from. Shut down this fracking. And then make the way, pave the way for the new future, the new way forward, which is in the renewable energy economy. And that does not include nuclear, by the way. And so making sure people, you know, have it framed in a way that makes sense. And in ways that make sense aren't things that are Band-Aids like natural gas. A lot of people, even you know, politicians were touting natural gas as a bridge fuel, and now here we are stuck with all of this poisoning from the result of fracking. And so here at Standing Rock, we're going to remain steadfast. We're going to remain vigilant. We're going to make sure, though, the next steps on the ground are to clear the bridge. Highway 1806 remains blocked. There's no reason that Highway 1806, a public access highway that goes directly into Standing Rock, there's no reason it should be blocked by the police force or the National Guard. We need to make sure that they move away from there and clear that out and stop desecrating the sacred sites where there's a lot of burials located on the hills where these cops are sitting currently. There's a lot of little things we got to get taken care of on the ground. And the only way we can continue to do that is by help and assistance from the people that have been sending stuff. You have to know that there's about 10,000 people in the camp right now. That's larger than most of the cities and towns in North Dakota itself. And so funding that and logistically making the, all of the challenges, making sure everybody stays warm, the food, the housing, everything that comes along with that, I think that we've been doing a pretty good job. And when I say we, I'm talking collectively, not IEN. We did not do this by ourselves by any stretch of the imagination. It was the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. It was the leaders in the Ocheti Shekoni camp. It was all of the people that came forward, all of the medics, all of the volunteers, all of the allies that stood with us. And the most powerful thing we have at Standing Rock right now is the power of visiting as human beings face to face. None of that could be done if we didn't have the donations that we've been getting to make sure people are warm, the sleeping bags that came in, the food, the supplies. I mean, the only reason so many people could come and stay was because we were able to make it possible for them to stay by taking a tent that was donated and giving it to a family in need, taking these materials that were donated and giving it to people that came on an empty tank of gas and just, you know, rolled in and said, oh, I'm going to stay for a week, and then we're still here months later.
God, the voice you're hearing and the spirit you're hearing and the prayers you're hearing, and we, if Candy believes in prayer as I do, then we want those prayers answered. I want to go back to Alan Minsky, who he and I have worked together. We want to thank Anonymous for another 100, Virginia for 100. Folks, we need some 250s, some 500s, even another 1,000. Thank you so much for the anonymous donor who gave $1,000. It's 450. In the next 10 minutes, we need to raise two more $1,000 at 818-985-5735. I know you can do it. Alan Minsky, tell us some stuff.
Well, I know that today up in North Dakota, there's been a blizzard the past couple days, and all of us listening down here over the airwaves of Southern California's KPFK radio, you know, we are in a situation down here in Southern California where you don't face weather like that, and I'm sure the people who are living their lives up in North Dakota are familiar with it, but it is, I know I've lived in some very cold climates in my day. It is still very rough, and so supplies are needed to maintain this. And so, again, I heard it got as large as 14,000 people. So it's a big, huge thing going on. And I know the last couple of days have been very rough. The whole winter is going to be rough. And so an opportunity to call 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. And your dollars will go towards two things. One, it will help with the maintenance of the whole operation up in Standing Rock through the Indigenous Environmental Network. And also, it'll keep the station that is going to continue to bring you news about the story and has been on the story since the beginning.
Absolutely.
The only outlet in Southern California that's done that. So 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Call now, pledge support, and as Eric said, let's get another $2,000 in these last now 6 minutes. We got to wrap this at 4:58, folks, so let's call now, 818-985-5735.
And one thing I want to say is this, that, you know, I was with the Congress of Racial Equality. I was with the Students for Democratic Society. I was with, when I give my biography, it's all about organizations, United Auto Workers, Labor Community Strategies Center, Bus Riders Union, New Directions Movement. Without institutions and organizations, I don't want to have talking head radio. I can't, I'll be honest, I can't stand some of these people calling guests, and all they are is somebody with an opinion. The Indigenous Environmental Network is an institution. Thanks to them, I mean, even imagine trying to organize 10,000 people in sleeping bags. And then KPFK is an institution. It's got its own problems, its own contradictions, but it's here every day for us. This is a terrific relationship that we've built between IEN and KPFK. I think KPFK should be very proud of the role it played in Standing Rock. And I even put more pressure on the – I've been saying to you, Alan, we need more shows. about social movements, mm-hmm. less social criticism, mm-hmm. more social movements. And I think this could be, we can use this to have a little revolution at KPFK, a friendly one, but a revolution of thought about where is this station going, because this is what we want radio to be. 818-985-5735. Can we get some more callers? Anonymous 100, Virginia, I said that. Anonymous 50, and thank her children. Let's see.
And let me throw in one.
Yes.
Let's thank Margaret Prescott and the Sojourner Truth Group for setting this up. And fantastic work Margaret has done in bringing this arrangement with the Indigenous Environmental Network. And I want to say also that, you know, we've had a number of our programmers up at Standing Rock over the past few weeks. And a few of them are still up there, actually. And so, we've been on the story. We'll continue to be on the story. Call 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. And folks, as you all know out there listening, this is something that finally, after months, received the kind of attention that's needed in the mainstream media. It was conspicuous, in fact, of the major outlets. The only one that provided any significant coverage, seemed to me, was The Guardian, which is an English outlet, and then Pacifica Radio. So, we've been on this for months, and you can see the power of independent media raising people's consciousness about this issue. And call 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Support the Indigenous Environmental Network. The money will go towards supplies and infrastructure for the movement up at Standing Rock, for the maintenance of the camps, et cetera. And also to support KPFK Radio, 818-985-5735. It's a 50-50 split between the two institutions. And Eric is going through the names as they come in.
Yeah, Jim 100, Danielle 10. In the last 2 minutes, Candy, tell us about the veterans and the role that they played. And, yes, we want to thank Justine and Gianni and Chino.
Those are the children of Anonymous.
The children of Anonymous. They have names. Anonymous does not. She was actually in a relationship with Anonymous. I didn't want to talk about their relationship. But go ahead, Candy. Tell us about the GIs.
I just want to say thank you to everybody, too. The vets, oh, geez. There were so many. It started out with 400. The call went out to Standing Rock, and they had to cap the number at 2,000. And since that time, we've had over 5,000 veterans that have RSVP'd to come and stand with Standing Rock in our waves. Another 700 supposed to come in next week, and it was a really emotional day the other day. I mean, they literally took a bunch of vets, apologized for the way that Native people were treated in this country and for the wars and for everything, for the not honoring the treaties, and they actually went down and on their knees and asked for forgiveness to the Native vets and the Native people, and it was really emotional. It was a really historic moment in time to have that happen. So they're going to be here. They're going to be on the ground, and we have to know that there's this all different ages and ranges and different levels of background in the material. I can't even talk because I'm thinking of it. It was really emotional.
You're doing beautiful. That's a really beautiful thing you just conveyed to our listeners. Thank you.
And one thing I want to say is that I don't think people realize, I mean, look, Candy Mossad, we believe in the role of leadership. She's not the only leader, nor does she claim she is, but for one of the leaders of Standing Rock to be on Voices three straight Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, there are other things Candy Mossad could be doing right now. There's other struggles and challenges for Standing Rock. She's made an investment in both our own show, Voices from the Frontlines. We want to thank you for your alliance with the Labor Community Strategy Center, and much more importantly, with our alliance with you. But listeners, mm-hmm. what I'm getting to is, folks, she's made this investment in this conversation with you. Please call 818-985-5735 and pay it back. Candy, I'll be in touch with you in so-called independently.
Sure.
No way we can thank you enough for the wonderful work you're doing. And we know it's not over, and we can guarantee you we're still on the case.
Thank you, everybody. I'm Asik at Odds, and I look forward to hearing from you. And just look forward to our post as well. Check us out on Indigenous Rising Media.
All right, we got a deal. Alan Minsky, you get the last words.
818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. I see a phone line open in the phone room. Call that number, 818-985-5735. Last 15 seconds of the hour. You can call any time in the next few minutes, though, and your donation will go 50% to the Indigenous Environmental Network. supporting the movement up at Standing Rock, and 50% to KPFK Radio. This is Voice from the Frontlines. Eric Mann, close up and call 818-985-5735.
Everybody, we are at about $2,500. Keep calling in. Thank you, Candy Mossett. Thank you, Alan Minsky. Thank you, KPFK. And yes, thank you, Margaret Prescott, for the terrific work that you've done. Take care of yourselves. All power to the people. See you next Tuesday at 4:00.